Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, we are encouraged by St. Paul to think about these good things and qualities. This is nourishment for the soul. But St. Paul might also suggest talking about them. That is what we do on Call Me Catholic, talk about things of worth. Well, most of the time anyway. Certainly we are today. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to explore, affirm, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times. So you can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. As always, I'm here in the studio with my trusty engineer and chief fact checker, Jimmy G. How was your Christmas, Jimmy G? I can say Merry Christmas still.
It was very nice. Had the whole family together. My son and daughter-in-law came down. So yeah, it was fantastic.
And your daughter-in-law is expecting your first grandchild.
She is. Yep.
That's very
yep.
exciting. Was she showing? I mean, that's what.
Yeah, she was.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, you know, we're in the middle of the octave of Christmas. So if everything didn't go perfectly on Christmas Day or during Advent, you've got a few days to reverse that. In the Catholic Church, of course, the Christmas season ends for us at the baptism of our Lord. Mm. I always associated ending with the Feast of the Magi on January 6th. It's also my birthday. Maybe I thought, okay, nothing more to see here, folks. But it's actually the baptism of the Lord. So it's the Magi arriving at the manger with the gifts. Very adult.
So much more to the season.
Yes, yeah. There's still much more. So wherever you find yourself in this liturgical season, Jimmy G and I find ourselves coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the festive Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. This is the Diocese of Orange, sandwiched in there between San Diego and Los Angeles counties, the home to many diverse and quite spectacular Christmas traditions, what with all the cultures that are resident in this region. Hey, Jimmy G, do you guys have any special Christmas traditions that you enjoy in your family?
Yeah, we certainly do. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing those.
Oh, well, for instance, like every Christmas Eve, we connect with all my cousins. That's just something I've done since I was a little kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so. It seems like through the course of Christmas, there's always one day set aside where you kind of gather with all your extended family.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have that with Christmas Eve with two other friends and their families. Our kids have all grown up together, so we sort of switch houses each year and celebrate family and friends together, and it's always just a lot of fun. And then I also have a fun tradition. I always have a theme for my Christmas table each year, and I've had some great themes over the years, but sometimes it's just at the very last minute I come up with it. So this year, my theme was Make Christmas Great Again.
Ah.
Yeah, little manger scenes and everything. Yeah, it's fun. So
we do the See's Candy theme. We have See's Candy.
It disappears quickly, though.
Right.
That theme goes away. So despite all the wonderful and time-honored traditions that we have in place, you know, sometimes our Christmas celebrations do not always deliver the perfect punch every year. There are unexpected setbacks or disappointments or upsets that surprise us and make us kind of recalculate our pleasure meter. And in fact, this year we had a few of those in our household because my husband, my darling husband, who's so integral to everything that we do in the house. I mean, he contributes so much. He got very sick a couple of days before Christmas, kind of went down for the count. He kept rallying, but he was very, very sick. And then on Christmas morning, I get a call from my sister, and she had taken my mother to the emergency room. Mm. Actually, the paramedics escorted my mother to the emergency room with a very severe side effects from the flu, and she remains there to this day, to this moment.
Oh, wow.
So I have spent quite a lot of time at the hospital over the last year.
Prayers for your mom.
Yes, thank you for that. She is showing signs of getting better, slowly but surely, and
good.
We send all our love, and she is so adorable that you might not know she's as sick as she is if you were to see her sitting in her hospital gown. Hi, Mom, if you're listening, I hope you're listening.
Well, our listeners unite in prayer. What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Marie.
Marie.
Darling Marie.
We unite in prayer.
Thank you for that. And in those trials of Christmas, I saw such love and solidarity among all my family members. And in the hospital, where, as I said, I've spent a considerable amount of time with a mask over my face. I mean, my goodness, the way I come out through the emergency room to get to my parking lot. And it was like a refugee camp the other night. I mean, people with their masks on just stacked all down the halls, all the way outside. I think the flu epidemic has been really a monster this year.
Wow.
Crazy. And I've witnessed so much dedication by the medical staff to all the sick patients. They're really the first responders in this flu epidemic this year. Last night, as I'm walking through the corridors with the Christmas carols playing in the background, kind of sounding just a little bit melancholy, I listened to little snippets of conversations from all the people in the halls and the hospital waiting rooms, all dealing with unexpected turns of events of all varieties. And I thought, you know, this is where God's grace sort of silently and generously infuses us with the strength and patience and hope to stay strong and move forward and spread the love. And I could hear it in the voices of people telling loved ones over the phone that, you know, so-and-so's in the hospital, or a doctor sharing a less than promising prognosis with family members in the waiting room, or somebody reassuring a friend that things were going to be okay, or thanking them for making the effort to visit, you know, a patient, the Eucharistic ministers, you know, distributing communion to all the Catholic patients out there. So in these moments when we feel suddenly out of control during a season that we so desperately want to feel in control of, God reminds us that he arrived in less than ideal circumstances to a mother and father that were wildly unqualified by most social standards for the duty that was entrusted to them in a place that seemed epically violent and unwelcoming. And yet his mission of salvation was going to be realized. I think God imposes the most challenging circumstances on those people to whom he entrusts very much. In fact, I think Teresa of Avila said, "We always find that those who walked closest to Christ were those who had to bear the greatest trials." So if any of you listeners feel particularly burdened this season with unexpected challenges and doubts, remember that you are in rare company with Mary and Joseph and pretty much the rest of the human race. So as the carol says, let nothing you dismay. Okay. Now, we have had some pretty cool feast days to savor since the birth of Christ. St. Stephen, the first martyr, that's celebrated on the day after Christmas. St. John the Apostle, the evangelist, however you would like to refer to him. Of course, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And then yesterday, the Feast of the great Thomas Becket. And tomorrow, Sunday, is the Feast of the Holy Family. But Monday, January 1st, is the Feast of...
Our Blessed Mother.
Yes, the Solemnity of Mary. And I sort of put that little pause in there because a lot of people don't really know what we celebrate on January 1st. It's changed its name over the course of a few decades.
It's not just the Rose Parade.
Who is the marshal this year, by the way? I don't know who the Grand Marshal is for the Rose Parade.
I'm not sure.
We're going to say it's Mary. It's Mary.
Right,
she's
right
there in spirit. And this feast day has evolved over the years. So we have brought in an expert on Marian devotion to help us explore that subject and the amazing grace that we can attain through devotion and imitation of our Blessed Mother. Father Quan Tran, I'm going to do that a couple of times. Father Quan Tran recently founded Fullness of Grace, a beautiful ministry devoted to helping Catholics and other Christians grow in their spiritual life by better understanding supernatural grace and how to gain an abundance of God's gifts by imitating the qualities of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that conversation should fully prepare you for honoring the feast day of the Solemnity of Mary on Monday, January 1st. So Father Tran coming up in just a minute. But first up, it's our Call Me Catholic Countdown, which this week, since we're all kind of right now at the cusp of the new year, grappling with what we're going to adopt as our New Year's resolutions, I thought we could use a little inspiration in evaluating what behaviors we want to change, what new mindsets we want to adopt, what new habits we have to put in place. And we've got a couple of days left to put those into action. So I thought we could use a little inspiration from saints and other holy people. So my Call Me Catholic Countdown is going to be my top five favorite inspirational quotes to help you jumpstart the new year with all your resolutions from our saints and holy people in our faith. So here we go.
The Call Me Catholic
Countdown. We got the mellow.
I thought we had to go mellow this morning.
I like it. Perfect. Yeah, we all need a little calm down. Smell the roses, blow out the candles.
Calm me Catholic.
Calm me Catholic. I like that too. Okay, so number five is going to be a quote from St. Augustine. And he says, pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. I like that because, you know, you still got to work hard. I know there's always this, oh, give yourself a break, take some time out. Working hard is a very good Christian discipline, and it's important to do that. But we have to know that everything comes through God. We have to pray to God constantly that we're working toward the right things,
yes,
toward the right
exactly
goals. Okay. Number four is a quote from St. Teresa of Calcutta. And she says, give yourself fully to God. He will use you to accomplish great things on the condition that you believe much more in his love than in your own weakness. So sometimes we look at challenges or goals that we set for ourselves and we think, I don't think I can do that. I'm not up to that task. But you know, if we believe that God is walking alongside of us, then we will be able to achieve exactly what he wants us to through him. And certainly she did, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Did.
Those are words to live by, right?
Yeah,
there.
Okay, right. Are you getting motivated, Jimmy G?
Yeah, well, I'm going to write these down. When I listen back to the show the second time, that's when I take fervent notes.
We might put them on our Facebook page.
Because I have to do fact checkings.
You have to fact check on those. Okay. Number three would be a quote from our very own Mother Angelica. Now, she's not a saint yet. She certainly gave us lots of material to pray about in her legacy, and we pray that one day she will become a saint. So she said, let's not be confused by the talents and missions of other saints. Let's be the kind of saints we were created to be. That's so Mother Angelica.
Nice,
she
nice.
Never minced words. It's like, stop thinking about what your neighbor does. Stop thinking about you wish you had more talent in this department or that department. You have just as much talent as you should. You just have to use it, and you have to pray about how to use it. Okay. Thank you, Mother Angelica.
Good words.
We love you, Mother
Good
Angelica.
Words.
Okay, and number two is from, of course, St. John Paul II. He gave us so many great quotes in his lifetime. But this one, he said, I like, and it's a good one for the new year. He said, it is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be grounded down by mediocrity, the courage to commit yourselves humbly and patiently to improving yourselves and society, making the world more human and more fraternal. That comes from Jesus, he says, and follow it. Okay, good advice, St. John Paul II. We love you, too.
Amen.
Okay, and number one, of course, I had to pick a quote from the Venerable Fulton Sheen, also not quite a saint, well on his way, but he was a treasure trove of wonderful little idioms and expressions and quotes very succinctly expressing a truth, a motivation, something that we should learn. And he said, this is a great one for the new year. He said, wake up saying, good morning, God, and not good God, morning.
A classic.
I love that because that's really true. Sometimes we wake up and if our first thought is, good morning, God, put me to work, instead of like, oh, I'm dreading today, or I've got so much to do today,
that's
or
right.
I have nothing to do today. Okay. I could waste a lot of time reading quotes. I'm a big motivational quote person. I have them all up on my bulletin board. But, you know, sometimes you just need that little voice that comes to you and says, come on, pick yourself up, dust yourself up, start
that's
all
true.
Over again. Okay. I have one on my bulletin board. I don't know who to attribute it to, but it says, what we see depends mainly on what we look for. And that's very, very good advice for me a lot of times. So, hey, why don't you look us up on Facebook, friends? We'd love to have you join our family. So check it out and give us a like at facebook.com/callmecatholic. It's all there for your perusal, pictures and links, as well as your questions and comments and our replies. Father Quan Tran is coming up next because the Solemnity of Mary is coming up Monday. And Father Tran is going to talk about his new ministry, Fullness of Grace, a resource to help you better understand and imitate the virtues of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So stay with us, friends. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and God rest ye, merry gentlemen. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we are still honoring Christmas while anticipating the beginning of a new year and resolving to start that new year with the best of intentions. And the Blessed Mother is at the ready, anxious to help us on our road to sainthood. Monday, January 1st, is the Solemnity of Mary, a perfect way to launch the year and a perfect model for the virtues we should all be striving to imitate. Our guest today is going to help us dig into that richest of resources, the Virgin Mary. Father Quan Tran is currently parochial vicar here at Christ Cathedral Parish, the seat of the Diocese of Orange. He is also the Episcopal Vicar of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs for our diocese and secretary to the pastoral provision for our good Bishop Kevin Vann. And most recently, Father Tran established a new ministry called Fullness of Grace, for which he has a great passion. The mission of Fullness of Grace is to help Catholics and other Christians grow in their spiritual life by better understanding supernatural grace and how to gain an abundance of God's gifts by imitating the qualities of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's some mission, Father Tran. Welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you. Thank you, Peggy, for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're grateful to have you here. You're one of our resident experts, and thank you for coming in on a Saturday. The rest of the diocese's offices are pretty much closed, so we appreciate you coming in. So Monday, Father Tran, is the Feast of the Solemnity of Mary. Can you give our listeners and all of us here some idea of what that means and how that relates to some of the other feast days of Mary that we celebrate throughout the year?
Sure. So Monday, New Year's Day, January 1st, is Mary, the Mother of God. That's her title and her role as Mary, the Mother of God. So we have, as you know, different feasts for Mary, honoring her Immaculate Conception, Assumption, and so on. So this one is honoring her title and her role in God's plan of salvation as the Mother of God.
Well, that's a pretty big role. But when I was growing up, I think it was called January 1st was the circumcision of our Lord. And so it had to do with the fact that I think he was named 8 days after he was born. And so then they kind of shifted it. I guess the whole idea was Mary and Jesus' relationship and at the beginning, but now it's just devoted specifically to Mary, the Mother of God. So it is a holy day of obligation, friends. So just because Sunday is right next to the holy day of obligation doesn't mean you get to skip.
It is generally a holy day of obligation. But if you're in Orange County, if you're in the area of Los Angeles, you know, bishops do have the ability to dispense it. So if you live in this area of Los Angeles and Orange County, it's not a holy day of obligation.
Well, that doesn't speak very well for our diocese.
it really kind of depends on the diocese, right?
It does. It depends on the diocese, depends on the bishop.
Yeah. Well, we're very busy here in Orange County. Right. We're very busy. We would still encourage people
to
go.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Just because it's not a holy day of obligation doesn't mean you should skip it. No, of course you're encouraged to go. But
that was just a disclaimer on behalf of the diocese. Okay. Thank you for that, Father. I didn't know that, actually. So I'm glad you clarified that. Hey, by the way, listeners, we have a new call screener with us today, Diamond Jim. Why don't you give him a call and help me break him into the job today? He will patch you right through to our conversation with Father Tran. So if you have a question or a comment about Mary, the Blessed Mother, about the solemnity coming up, or about his new ministry, Fullness of Grace, give us a call. Jump right into the lines, 714-282-6034. You'll hear Jim's dulcet tones, and not Jimmy G, but Diamond Jim.
Just be nice to him.
714-282-6034. So join our conversation. We'd love to have you with us. So, Father Tran, tell us about your ministry. What was the impetus for this Fullness of Grace? Beautiful name, by the way.
Thank you, Peggy. I do a lot of spiritual reading. That's really is my passion, is to grow in holiness. And I think that should be our goal for all of us. And so I read and I take notes for myself, from scripture, from the saints, from spiritual writers. And I come up with all these different points. And then I wanted to share them with others, you know, to the knowledge that I have gained through prayer and reading and studies, to share that with other. And then I had about like 36 different points. And so I wanted to condense them, make them more manageable. And so, I narrowed them down to 12 points. And that during this process, I realized that these are the virtues, the qualities of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wow. So
and those were gleaned from all of your expansive spiritual, reading. And then you narrowed this down to these are all qualities of the Blessed Virgin.
Right. Beautiful. Right. And so I see the connection there. And then, of course, she is known as full of grace. And then I studied about grace and I learned more about grace. And, you know, grace is a gift that's given to us, but for us to respond to grace, we need to do our part as well. Grace is not something we just sit back and receive. Grace requires us to respond to that grace. As some of the quotes you were reading before, you know, God puts the desire into our heart to grow in holiness, to do something good. And so God gives us the grace to participate in his divine life, to be his instrument in the world, to grow in holiness. But we still have to do our part.
What is our part, Father? What is our part in that?
Our first part is to receive. Because a lot of times we're not even receptive and we don't even know it. We're so caught up in our own world, our own agenda, that we're not even receptive to God's grace. God is always trying to get our attention, but he does it subtly. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have the right disposition, like Mary, to receive the grace. And then once we receive the grace, is to respond to it. So if I believe God has given me the grace to start this ministry, mm-hmm. so that others may learn to grow in grace. And I could, of course, said, you know, God, I'm too busy. I don't need to start a new ministry, right?
Because you are busy.
I am busy.
You have a lot of responsibilities here in the
right.
diocese.
But I feel I want to respond to that. And the more I respond, the more God will bless me with more graces. Mm-hmm. And not just for me, but for you, your listeners, and for others. Yeah. And so, and that's just not for me, but for all of us. He's always giving us grace to benefit the body of Christ, to build up his kingdom on earth. So we can either ignore the grace or receive it and participate and respond, and we will grow in grace.
You can run from it, but it doesn't mean he'll stop running after us.
Exactly.
We're talking with Father Quan Tran from the Diocese of Orange here and about his beautiful new ministry, Fullness of Grace. And if you have a question for him, you can jump in and join our conversation. Diamond Jim is taking your calls, 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. You know what's interesting, Father Tran, about responding to grace is that, you know, there can be something that you're getting an urging or a prompting to follow. And you may think it looks daunting, but the minute you start working toward it, somehow it just continues to propel you. You know it's right.
Exactly. And that's what I was speaking about, is that God gives you that desire, that motivation. And if you act upon it, he gives you the grace to go further. And so he just gives you the light to take the next step. Sometimes we want to see the ending, we want to see the results, but he's saying, trust me,
yeah.
You know, follow my inspiration, follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Take that first step and I will illumine and I will give you grace to take the next step.
So when you started this ministry, and you've got a lot that has manifested as a result of those original first steps, I mean, it just started to take shape. First of all, the name, Fullness of Grace, did that come to you instantly, or was that just always sitting in the back of your head, or was it a moment? When you were saying the Hail Mary?
It just kind of came instantly.
Yeah.
It just came instantly. I wanted to reserve a domain name, and I searched Full of Grace, and I think that's taken.
Yeah.
And so I typed in Fullness of Grace, and that's available, so I jumped on it.
I love that. And so he has a beautiful website, is fullnessofgrace.com.
.org,
fullnessofgrace.org. And then beautiful other aspects of it, like you have a beautiful logo that you really put a lot of thought into. The colors that you see throughout the website and throughout his merchandise is a beautiful blue. But can you describe the logo for our listeners? Of course, this is radio, so we can't show it to them. It's got, the center is a profile of a young Blessed Virgin Mary, perhaps at the time of the Annunciation. And there's also sort of a metaphorical shape here of almost, it looks like a womb.
Yes. I mean, there's so much to this logo. And so I worked with a designer that I worked with before. He's Catholic, but I just sort of gave him some ideas. You know, we didn't really go into the details of, you know, hidden meanings or symbolism or anything. And he just came up with this. And we tweaked it a little bit, but then afterwards, so many people tell me that they see so many symbols, signs, and meanings in this logo. And like you mentioned, it looks like Mary is in a womb,
mm-hmm.
and this I think refers to her Immaculate Conception. As we know, mm-hmm. that you know, at the moment of her conception, she was protected by God from all sins. And the color the designer selected, you know, it's sort of a bluish green, sort of an ocean mm-hmm. blue,
very aqua.
And somebody told me that this is the color of the ocean, and this shows Mary's love for us. It's as deep and expansive as the ocean.
Mm.
We see the two crosses. People have said one is for Jesus and the other is for Mary,
mm-hmm.
you know, because being his mother, she participated in his redemptive work, and she too carried her cross when she saw her son suffered and died.
There's a lot, the way he describes it, there's a lot of imagery there, but yet to look at it, it's just a simple lines, and it's the circle, also the eternal circle. You didn't catch that one, did you? See, there he just keeps revealing itself.
There's a lot there.
But I really encourage you to go to his website and check it out, because it's fullnessofgrace.org, and it really is beautiful. And you have a whole portion for products. You have products that bear the logo and prayer cards.
Yes, and it's to evangelize. It's to get this image out, and I wanted the designer to design something that's pretty, and that's not like in your face, you know, and that anybody can appreciate this beauty. And I've noticed that everybody, you know, from the young folks mm-hmm. to the older folks, they love this image.
Well, and I like the fact that you say right up front that you're trying to appeal to Catholics and Christians of other denominations. And that's a little area where they could, you know, there's needs to be a little more evangelization there.
Yes.
So I think you've picked all the right imagery. Father Quantran is going to stay with us for more great conversation about his ministry, Fullness of Grace. If our dialogue has brought up a question or a comment about devotion to Mary, her feast days, or Father Tran's ministry, Fullness of Grace, give us a call at 714-282-6034. Diamond Jim is at the switchboard, ready to patch you through to our conversation. That's 714-282-6034. Or maybe you have a Marian ministry in your region that you would like to share some of the qualities of, because her feast day is coming up, January 1st, the Solemnity of Mary. So we'll be right back with more material to help you prepare for the new year with Holy Resolve. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Greetings of the Christmas and New Year variety, my friends. I am Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to Call Me Catholic on this sixth day of Christmas. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, let's see, sixth day, seven with seven swans a-swimming. So six geese-a-lane.
Geese-a-lane.
We got it. Okay. But that's all besides the point, because we are not talking about geese or swans. Today we're talking about Mary, the Mother of God, and we have a wonderful guest who's very informed on that subject to share his knowledge and inspiration with us. Father Quantran is the parochial vicar here at Christ Cathedral Parish in the Diocese of Orange, but he is also Episcopal Vicar of Interreligious and Ecumenical Affairs for the diocese. He works very closely with our good Bishop Kevin Vann. So, Bishop, I just promoted you. Father Tran, we've been talking about your beautiful ministry, Fullness of Grace, and how you founded it only 6 months ago. And because it was a prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's really begun to materialize beautifully. Can you share, you mentioned earlier, you touched on all the spiritual reading you had done and how you were taking important points and qualities through all this reading, and you realize they all reflect qualities of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Can you identify what those qualities are?
Yes. So I've narrowed them down to 12 to make it more manageable for everybody. The first quality, I think, is humility. That's really essential. It's the foundation. If we don't have humility, we're not going to grow in the other virtues.
And that's where we get into a lot of trouble, too, with a lack of humility.
Right. And, you know, especially in our culture, this emphasis on self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And so everybody is just so self-centered and overly confident about themselves and their abilities. But through all the readings and this quality of Mary that we all know of is this humility. And sometimes people misunderstand what humility is. Humility is really to acknowledge our limitations, our weaknesses, and our complete dependence on God for everything. And it's to realize that the gifts that we do have, the talents that we do have, come from God as gifts, that they come from God, and to be grateful for the gifts that he has blessed us.
And, you know, sometimes when I compliment someone on something, I always think it's lovely. Like if you say, oh, you have such a beautiful voice, Adrian, she'll say, oh, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's grace from God.
Right.
It's lovely.
Right. And that's humility, to give credit where credit is due. You know, it's not to put down ourselves. No, we've been blessed, with so many things, singing, intellect, beauty, but not to be conceited or have a big ego, but to give glory to God.
Mm-hmm. You can also do the opposite of that, in that you can have false humility sometimes too, when you have been given a gift and you're very self-deprecating and you don't believe it's of any use to anyone. I mean, that's insulting also to me.
Yes. God has blessed us. He's given us different gifts and to be used for his glory. Mm-hmm. Right. So we need to acknowledge our gifts. You know, you've heard of charism. Mm-hmm. And St. Paul speaks of charism, and we're each given a charism to be used for the glory of God, for the benefit of his body, for building up the church. And if we don't use that charism, then we're not tapping into the grace that mm-hmm. God has given us. So grace and charism, it's the same thing. Charism is a type of grace that God has given us to be used, to be explored, to grow in, to cultivate for his glory.
So you have 12 items here. The first one is humility, and then the last one is the sacraments. Tell us how Mary is represented in the sacraments.
So, well, first of all, you know, God has given us the sacraments as a channel of grace. And we know that from the Acts of the Apostles that they had the Eucharist back then. So Mary received the Eucharist. So you can imagine Mary and her disposition as she received the Eucharist.
When did she receive the Eucharist, Father? When do you think was the first reception for Mary?
I believe this was probably after Pentecost, mm-hmm. right? That they started the church, they started to gather, that they called the breaking of bread through prayer and communion. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Mary participated in this breaking of bread.
Oh, what a lovely thought. You know, it's nothing I've heard of literally in scripture, but it certainly took place. And I like imagining that. Thank you for mm-hmm. suggesting that. Father, we have a caller right now that is joining us from New Orleans, White Castle, New Orleans. Hey, Mark, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hi, Father Kwan and Mary. It's my first time calling the show.
Oh, we're so glad. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Mark.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you guys, too. I'm in the country in Swampville in Louisiana. I'm getting ready to meet with a client, but, I mean, all I see is swamp on the right and swamp on the left.
Nothing says Christmas like swamp on the right and swamp on the left.
But this must be a divine call, a divine me listening to you on a Saturday. But I was challenged a couple of days ago by a Catholic academic. She's got a degree from Harvard, and she had never been to confession. Well, she hasn't been to confession in 20 years. And she is this on-fire spiritual friend of mine. And there's not many people I can talk about spiritual things with because sometimes they just don't relate. And that's okay, but I really relish the time I spend with her. Let's call it Jane. And so we got on the subject of grace, and I asked her about confession. I said, Jane, when's the last time you've been to confession? And she said 20 years. And she kind of was taken aback by that, and she knew she was challenged. And I said, you need to go, Jane. And she says, well, why? I said, well, why haven't you gone? And she kind of beat around the bush, and she didn't get down to really answering the question. And so before I give you my answer, I want to ask you, Father Kwan, the dynamic of confession and God's grace. You just started your topic with sacrament. So could you answer that?
Right. Thank you for that question.
Well, yes. Articulated, Mark.
And that's sort of the problem nowadays with our culture. For some reason, people do not appreciate the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession. We know that it's scriptural that Jesus said to his apostles, "Who sins you forgiven are forgiven. Who sins you retain are retained." Sometimes people think, well, I can just confess to God directly. Why do I have to go to a priest? Well, Jesus has chosen his priests to be his presence, to forgive sins, to administer mercy through the sacrament of confession. That's what he's done. And so we do need the sacrament of confession. And it's not just supernatural grace, but it's also psychologically liberating. You know, we live with guilt, with sin, with shame. It's good to sit down and just say it and just let it out and to hear the words, you know, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about sin is that people don't see sin, but it's there. You know, we shower every day, we wash our cars, we clean our house, but for 20 years, not cleaning your soul. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, you see your house, you see your body, but you don't see your soul. And Saint Teresa of Avila speaks of the soul when it's perfect, when it's in a state of grace, is this beautiful, sparkling diamond. But when it's in a state of mortal sin, it is filled with yuck and grime and filth.
Coal dust, yeah.
That you can't even recognize it. And so, but when you go to confession, all of that is wiped away. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many powerful experiences in confession where people have been away for 20 years and they come, they unburden their shame, their guilt, and they are liberated. They feel so much lighter, and they leave confession just filled with hope, joy, and peace. So I highly recommend confession.
And how does that compare with your answer, Mark?
Well, Father Kwan, I'm a student of my faith, and I've learned, you know, why my faith is so important to me, and the sacraments make such a difference between what a Catholic Christian believes and feels and lives, and what the other faith don't have. It's not the fullness of our faith. And the sacraments give us that physical touch that God knows we need. And she understood the psychological part. But there's more to it than that, and that's the supernatural. But my response, and I need you to correct me if it, please do, is that God's got this storehouse to give you all of these wonderful things that he's just waiting for you, and that's his mercy and his grace. When you block, well, it's a blocking of his grace that he wants for you if you have a soul that is unconfessed. And so when you do that, it's like the storehouse is open. All of these gifts he wants for you are now open and free for him to give you. Is that an accurate metaphor?
Yes, that's wonderful, because it's true. When you're in a state of sin, especially a state of mortal sin, that's an obstacle to God's grace. You have already separated yourself from God. You may not know it, you may not feel it, you may not believe it, but it's true. When we're in a state of mortal sin, we have separated ourselves from God. And so we need to go to confession to restore that relationship. So you're right. She's missing out on all this grace, all this love, all this mercy by being away from the sacrament. If she go to confession, it's like a fresh start, and she is able to receive an abundance of God's grace.
Well, you know, Mark, I think you received a grace in actually asking her that question and then being able to respond with such an informed explanation. So there's grace in action right there, Mark.
Well, I want to ask you one more thing about this, because it's a big part of my life. God's grace of the Holy Spirit, it's just I can't live without it. And so as far as merit is concerned with God's grace, could you address merit? Because we don't earn anything.
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. And so because the emphasis is on undeserved gift. And so, and it's true, the gift is not deserved. We've done nothing to earn God's grace. It's a completely unmerited gift. But we can merit grace in the way we respond. We can merit an increasing grace in our response. God has given us free will, and he wants us to use that free will. If we don't respond, if we don't receive, then we miss out. But if we do respond, then he gives us more grace. So I think that's been a problem in the last maybe 20 years, is people have taken out that word merit. You know, they think, it's inconsistent with gift. No, it's both and. Yes, everything is gift, but we can merit an increasing grace based on our free choices, our free response.
Wow. We're going to get you a co-host gig on Call Me Catholic, Mark.
God bless you, Father Kwan. I got your web, fullnessofgrace.org. Jane is going to get this, and she's going to have a full description of what we talked about, Father Kwan. And Miss Normandy, thank you so much for what you do, EWTN. I'm at school on the road in the swamp. How bad can you be?
I love Louisiana. It's God's country there. I absolutely love it. And you're just one of the reasons we love it. And thank you, Mark, for calling in. We wish you a blessed continued Christmas season and a really grace-filled new year, my friend.
Right back at y'all. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye, Mark. What a delightful call. You know, I was going to tell just a cute little story in relationship to all that. Over the Advent season, we have a little text chain going on among my three sisters and myself. And my one sister who lives with my mother texted and said, "Oh, Mom and I just went to the penance service at Our Lady of Mount Carmel." And she said, "Oh, now we're just having a little pizza and we're in such a good mood." And my other sister texted back and she said, "Isn't that the most, aren't the most joyful words of the season, 'Go in peace, your sins are forgiven'?" You know, and it was beautiful. And I thought, yes, those are wonderful words to experience. And you do feel, that's one area where you actually feel God's grace. It's very present. So Mark's call was particularly pertinent to the sacraments. And Diamond Jim, our call screener, didn't even put that up on the fact that he was calling about the sacraments. So that's awesome. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Father Tran, because you are so devoted to the Blessed Mother, about Marian apparitions and what place do they play in Marian devotions and developing a close relationship with Mary and an appreciation for all of the qualities of Mary that you try to showcase through your Fullness of Grace website?
Right. Well, the Church tells us we don't have to believe in these personal revelations, apparitions, but the apparitions where the church has approved, says it's worthy to believe, it's true. And so, but I think they do help a lot. I think,
don't they teach us something about Mary too?
Absolutely, absolutely. They're consistent with the teachings of the church, they're consistent with scripture, once they are approved. And so they do, they emphasize certain things, they highlight certain things, about Mary and about our role as her children and how we can imitate her.
Yeah, you really feel the maternal in these apparitions, I think. I have a particular devotion and affection for Guadalupe because I think that image is just so compelling. Do you have a favorite apparition?
I love Our Lady of Lourdes.
Oh,
I love
yes.
Our Lady of Lourdes and Saint Bernadette and all that. But there are so many.
I said to a friend recently, I said, I wish Mary would come to the United States. I wish Mary would appear. And I don't know if that's an appropriate thing to pray or not, but I know a lot of people are consecrating the state. What does it mean when I've read recently that someone is trying to consecrate the state of California to Mary? Explain to our listeners and to me, what is that exactly?
Sure. A consecration to Mary is to entrust Mary with everything. There's personal consecration to Mary where you entrust your life, your future, everything you do to Mary, to Jesus through Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Because why go to Jesus directly when we can go to Jesus through his mom,
mm-hmm.
right? And so
that's how he came to us, through Mary.
Right. And so Mary helps us so much. Her merits become our merits, mm-hmm. right? It's like you get to talk to the mother of the king, right?
Yeah.
So because we're so weak and everything, why approach Jesus with our own merits, our own abilities, when we can have our mother help us too?
You know, as a Catholic, growing up Catholic, you just recognize that some Catholics have a natural and very powerful devotion to the Blessed Mother. Other people, it's cultivated, you can see it's more of an effort. Do you think God just gives some people the grace that draws them to Mary more than others?
Yes. We all have different graces. And so, yes. But I think the bottom line is I think God wants all of us to acknowledge Mary as our mother. He did give Mary to all of us to be our mother, to help us. And so I think all of us should have a devotion to Mary.
Yeah. We have another caller, and we love those Southern callers. We have Louise from North Kentucky. Hey, Louise, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your show, and I appreciate your guest on Marian theology today.
I appreciate him, too. Do you have a question for him, Louise?
Yes. I just wondered, there are so many different, Marian apparitions around the world today, even like Medjugorje, but there is one close to home here, a woman who, Clearwater, Florida, she saw the image of Mary down there, and she's been writing a lot about this, and she actually has a church close to here that she bought with, they have adoration 24/7, and I was calling in prayer requests. Some people are very, very critical of this, and how do you discern, that?
It's a good question. It's a good question, Louise.
That's a very good question. And I think we need to look to the church. We need to look to the church for guidance, because the church will study these apparitions and will approve them or not. So so I think the Clearwater one, I don't think that's approved. If I'm not mistaken.
No.
And so we do have to be careful. We do have to be careful because a lot of people can claim a lot of things. And so we do have to be careful. I think there is one that's approved. I believe it's in Michigan. There is a Marian apparition in the United States that's approved. I believe it's in Michigan. So, okay. I would just be careful.
There are so many rich ones that have so much documentation and so much material to draw from that these, if someone is particularly drawn to it, as long as it doesn't come along with superstition or anything that becomes, the person themselves become a superstar, or you notice that kind of grandstanding. But there's just so many really authentic, documented ones that we can look to that I don't think we need to necessarily dwell on new ones.
Yeah, well, this one is, I know this woman, from church, and I just wondered in the meantime, because there's been a lot of criticism, if it would be wrong to, call in for prayer requests. They have a team of people who do 24/7 adoration, at this church, and I don't know. I just thought, well, what could be the harm? But there's been like a lot of criticism about it, but I thought even Medjugorje, there's criticism, right?
Right. No. So if your question is to calling in for a prayer request, I see nothing wrong with that. Yeah. No. So yeah, okay. if there are people doing 24-hour adoration and they're taking your petitions, no, by all means, give them your petition. So that in and of itself is nothing wrong with that. But I'm just be careful whether or not this is authentic, you know. But even assuming if it's not authentic, you know, God can bring good even out of something mm-hmm. that's not right. We know that. So if it's with the church, if you're just submitting your petitions, if there's Eucharist adoration, there's confession, then all those things are fine. Those are all acceptable.
All directed through Mary to God. So yes. that's the authenticity there. Hey, thanks, Louise. It sounds like you're really scrutinized well, and your thoughts are probably appropriate to question some of that and come up with your own decision with some good counsel, which I think you just got.
Right. And they even like have on their website that they submit this to the authority of the church.
There you go.
You know, so
it's okay. It's all under process. I mean, it could be very authentic. But prayers, ultimately, that's what we should all be doing. We should be praying through Mary to God. So thank you,
okay,
Louise.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you and Happy New Year.
God bless you and Happy New Year. Yeah, you know, I said earlier, I wish Mary would appear. It's just that I sort of feel like the United States needs some messages right now that are specific to the United States. But that's silly. I don't mean to take those kinds of things in vain. Father Trent, your website, fullnessofgrace.org, is just a super resource for people, and I want to point out some really nice features of it. He has a prayer card that lists the 12 qualities. We touched on the first one and the last one, humility and the sacraments, and it has a beautiful prayer on the end that I'm going to have Father offer to our audience before we close. But this would be a really lovely prayer card to share with a women's group that you meet with on a weekly or monthly basis. There are some other really nice little pieces of merchandise in there. And I think I call that to your attention only because I know women like to shop. So that might draw you to the website, because it also has great videos. And I want to also ask you, Father, to sort of summarize. You have a little video on there on New Year's spiritual resolutions. So what are some of the spiritual resolutions you would encourage us to consider
sure.
as we approach the new year?
Sure. Thank you. As you know, Peggy, during this time, people start thinking about New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's about losing weight or exercising or eating healthy.
Yes. Check.
Which is all good. But sometimes we neglect the soul. Mm-hmm. We neglect the soul. So I just gave some suggestions to nourish the soul during the new year. Because as you know, the soul is eternal. The body will decay and die, but the soul lives on forever. And so I have a few suggestions. One is daily mass. Daily mass. You know, somebody introduced me to daily mass when I was discerning my vocation, and I believe that played a huge part in me being able to discern my vocation. So the Eucharist is so powerful. It gives us infinite grace. And daily mass, as you know, is only about half an hour,
yeah.
and it's so readily available. We live in a country where you can go to any parish. We have masses in the morning, even during lunchtime, and in the evenings.
And it's very intimate. You know, it has less distractions sometimes than Sunday mass
does. Right. So daily mass, and you don't need to start with all 6 days. You can just start with one morning, like a Saturday
morning, yeah.
right? Another thing we talked about is confession. Again, it's a powerful sacrament, and some people stay away for too long.
20 years, apparently.
20 years, and even the average practicing Catholic goes maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
I would suggest maybe consider going monthly. Even venial sins, the fact that they are wiped away, the fact that we are forgiven, and we receive the grace to avoid sinning,
mm-hmm.
right? If we feel like we're just habitually doing the same sins over and over, why not receive the grace to help us to refrain from that, to help us to not fall into that? So confession is another one. Another one is scripture. Scripture, immerse ourselves in the Word of God. It's given to us. And so the more we read scripture, the more God speaks to us mm-hmm. through scripture. One practice is Lectio Divina, reading scripture prayerfully. We know that God will speak to us that way. Another is spiritual reading, right? There's so many saints.
Yeah, certainly the impetus for your website or for your new ministry, Fullness of Grace, was all your spiritual reading.
Right. And God works through other people. He's given us saints. He's inspired others with truths that he wants to pass on to all of us. So many good books out there.
And I would suggest, consider getting some of those books as audio versions, too, because if you go for walks in the morning or in the evening, and you think, I don't know if I can sit and read a spiritual book. sometimes start out by listening to someone reading the book to you. I think it really penetrates, and it begins. You get into the rhythm of how those spiritual narratives go.
Right, right.
So, well, those are good. Those are great suggestions, right there. You know, Father Tran, you mentioned your vocation. I would love for our listeners to have just a little sampling of how you received how you were directed toward the priesthood, because you were an attorney, a district attorney, for quite a while. You had quite an impressive professional pedigree before entering the priesthood only 6 years ago.
Right. It's really is a miracle, my vocation story. I have no business being here right now. I have no
yes, you do.
I have no business being a priest. It really is God's grace that I am ordained a priest. So like you mentioned, I was an attorney. I was a DA, deputy district attorney, for 10 years. I was a lawyer for 12 years. And so growing up, we never talked about the priesthood. I never thought about becoming a priest. My family was Catholic, but I guess you can say we were lukewarm Catholics. You know, we go through the motions, attend Mass, receive the sacraments, but that was about it. And so my parents emphasized, you know, being successful in the eyes of the world, getting a good career, making lots of money, having a, you know, secure job and all that.
Well, that is pretty much a miracle that through all that background, you were able to arrive at the priesthood. But, you know, we are so grateful you did, Father Tran. And I'm afraid our time with our listeners has come to way too quickly a close. But could you offer our listeners a quick blessing before we say goodbye?
Sure. Let me read the prayer, the fullness of grace prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise, Eternal Father, for all your goodness, especially for giving us Mary as our mother and model. Help us to imitate her qualities so as to grow in the fullness of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, be with us always, and help us to conform ourselves to you and be one with you at all times. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love, and transform us into your instruments of grace. O Mary, our Queen and Mother, help us to become more like you and fulfill our vocation perfectly according to God's holy will. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, dear God. And thank you, Father Tran, for your wonderful contribution today. Fullnessofgrace.org. I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic. See you next week.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.